Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, good afternoon.
Spiegel & Company.
We're Spiegs.
I'm right here.
Afternoons on the Score.
I feel really good about the offensive line. We're happy with that group.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
Williams in trouble and he goes down. Swift, everything's covered. Will Anderson brings down Williams.
You look at it, you know, obviously we have 7 sacks, you know, the offensive line. Everybody's going to talk about those types of things.
You're asking your quarterback to play a certain way. Play within your offense. Get it out of your hands. Do all that. And then you do a lot of stupid stuff.
Williams got away from Hunter somehow. Fires downfield. It's intercepted by Lassiter. Seminer comes the pressure again. Williams goes down. Sacked at the 1 by Mario Edwards.
We talked a lot about the guys that Ryan Pose decided to draft instead of offensive linemen that were sitting there. And we said that this could be a problem area. It ended up being a problem area.
3-5. Williams head sacked. And Caleb Williams, who is taking a bunch of hits here in this second half with this pressure.
I'm a little bruised up. You know, I took a couple hits today.
Caleb Williams, he has been on the ground a lot.
Why should I live in history, huh? I don't want to know anything anymore. This is a world where nothing is solved.
Every year, it's like, man, get the receiver. Go get Keenan Allen. Cheer for Rome Odunze instead of Olu Fashanu.
The Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze.
Yes!
There you go. Woo! 12-year-old Danny Parkins right there.
Pass up John Michael Schmitz, who's now playing for the Giants. Pass up Cam Jurgens, who's now the Eagles starting center. These guys were the number 1 ranked centers in the draft. But you're either in or you're out. Nothing is more Chicago and Illinois than a cheer for every other position but the O-line. And then complain about the O-line as soon as the season starts.
Someone once told me time is a flat circle.
Well, I'm moving, yeah, on a thin line.
Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
But I just really feel like the Bears are missing Keenan Allen.
Oh, Jesus.
Spiegel & Company.
Nobody get that phone. We got company.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Oh, goodness. Great stuff from Chris Tannehill. Tanny and Shane Reardon are here. Shane, his focus is on the show, even though the Media League Softball Championship game is tonight at 8:30. Pat Manley is here. Company has come over. Get the Entmans. Get the good stuff, because we will serve the good stuff on Spiegel & Company. Kurt Werner at 3 o'clock to talk quarterbacking. Mark Grody with the very latest from Hallis Hall and tape of All Who Spoke of Consequence from today, and Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. What's up, Pat? I know you did pregame and postgame last night. Appreciate the turnaround and being here to hang out with me today, man.
I will talk Bears all day long, just as long as we're not talking baseball. Just like I said last Monday. Just kidding. No, it's always fun to talk Bears, man. And we just wish it was a better outcome, but that Texans team was good. Like we talked in transition there, that's a darn good football team. And to be honest with you, I didn't think they would have a chance to have the ball with the last possession to be able to win the game.
Yeah,
I just didn't think they had a chance to do that.
Offense didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Offense didn't deserve to be in that spot, but defense busted ass and gave him a chance. And there's plenty to talk about with Caleb Williams, and we will. Plenty to talk about with that defense, and we will. But let's start with the offensive line. Every single player on that offensive line had bad moments last night. Braxton Jones got beat plenty and committed a penalty or two. Tevin Jenkins, Azeez Al-Shaair as like the fifth lineman to come. Mm-hmm. At one point, Tevin Jenkins just kind of turns towards the middle to double team nobody and lets a man directly in front of him get a clear shot at Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, we can't say for sure that was on him. That could be different. That could be on Coleman not making the right call. But there were other parts in the run game. He's not playing as well as he has in the past. He's getting beat. He's getting beat in pass protection up in those upfield shoulder on games and all that kind of stuff. And then obviously Coleman Sheldon's not up to par right now.
Coleman Shelton just absolutely eaten alive by Manny. Manny Alexander, but no, it's the
Manny's Deli.
Yeah, there we go.
That's who it was. Mario Edwards, the former Bear.
Yes.
The play where he just, like, he gets a penalty called on him for roughing the passer just because he happens to be.
Because he beat him too bad,
Because he beat him too bad.
Yes.
Just shoving him back. Coleman Shelton can't pancake anybody.
No, he's not that type of player, but people are exposing him.
Yeah, Darnell Wright juked out of his cleats by Danielle Hunter on one play that everybody saw. Mm-hmm. So, like, everybody. And then there's Nate Davis, who, I'm sorry, Nate Davis looks like he's playing like a dog.
I hate to say it, but it looks
like a guy who got paid in free agency and is freaking mailing it in. And it goes with what we have heard in training camps. You're seeing a guy run by people instead of block them 2 weeks in a row.
So, the whole game. I think that's just a miss. It's a Ryan Poles miss. As much as we praise Ryan with some of the draft picks and some other things he's done, some other free agent acquisitions, I think this is a big miss. And I think we've seen it during no practice during training camp to his inconsistent play to getting, I believe he was benched last week. They say it was a rotation, but I think if Bates wasn't injured, Bates probably would have taken over the right guard position after that.
So we've got a situation where every single player on that offensive line was bad last night.
Yes.
And the coaching is a problem and all of it. But here's my theory. The former offensive lineman GM in Ryan Poles and the former offensive lineman assistant GM in Ian Cunningham, they have what I've referred to as the arrogance of the first-timers, of believing that they can do things right, that they can coach people up. It seems to me that they are scouting, drafting, and trying to develop players who were like themselves as offensive linemen. Character guys. Makeup guys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good effort. Because they themselves were not talent first in terms of athleticism, strength, and dominance. They don't have road graders. They don't have jackasses. Bad, mean, hurtful, violent football players. They don't have those on the offensive line. We're going on year three. It seems they think center is an intelligence position, is an organizational and communication position, which it is, but you got to beat the crap out of people too. And they don't have guys like that because they themselves were not guys like that. And we have seen this in Bears history, whether it's Phil Emery getting Mark Trestman, who was just like him, or Ryan Pace getting Mitch Trubisky, who reminded himself of him. It's people who are former players thinking that they will have the ingenuity and can coach them up and scheme them up because somebody didn't do it right for them. And I'm sorry, but their profile of what they look for in an offensive lineman is clearly screwed up, and their lack of willingness to use massive assets on big, powerful, mean offensive linemen is a problem 3 years in the making, which is costing them last night, and it's going to cost them all damn season.
You know, they acquired Darnell Wright, right, with the first pick as a tackle. He's still young. He's in his, second game as a rookie. That's a guy I can hang my hat on, but he's still young. But everybody else, even Tevin Jenkins, who they did not draft, I forgot about that, Olin and I were talking about last night.
No!
He used to be the tough SOB. He had a couple pancakes. He had a couple good run blocks. But overall, he's just not playing the same.
They don't like him. They don't like him.
They messed with him.
They took him from tackle, moved him to right, moved him to left. They don't believe in him.
And that's not Braxton's game. Let's go to Braxton. That's not Braxton's game either.
No.
He's a finesse left tackle.
Correct.
That's what he is. But you're right. It is interesting to think that because they do seem like they seem like guys they would like. They seem like they're good guys that are good in the building, that are smart, that will treat everybody with respect.
I love that.
I'd rather have somebody. They don't have to treat everybody with respect. I don't want them to be smart, but I want them to be ass kickers. I want them to want to go hit people. I want them to look like our defense. Our defense loves to go hit people. I want to see them finish plays.
I mean, like, I'm all for, you know, finding guys with great makeup, and it does matter. But on an offensive line, they should know on an offensive line, who's your Olin? Who's your tone setter?
Don't have one. Don't. Your old Reuben Brown. He was a tone setter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you had guy Garza was a tone setter. But yeah, you have to have that. I don't know if they have that makeup in the room at all.
I don't think they have a single offensive lineman who's got that kind of makeup.
Right.
And the one that we thought might, in terms of Tevin and showing you some of that, is a guy they're pushing around and they might not re-sign. And we can talk about moving Tevin over to right guard, which is an idea that Olin Krutz has had for years. Was it Haar or was it Olin? This is a good question.
They just seem soft, and that's the last thing you want to hear being an offensive lineman. That's the last thing Chris Morgan wants to hear, watch, and have to maybe even say to his guys. They're getting beat up front. Okay, they have gone against two very good defensive fronts, but you can still fight. You can still put your hand on the back of their head when you're getting up. You can still push to the end of the whistle. And I just don't see that. And obviously they're getting beat technique-wise. There's some things with TEs and ETs and passing off twists and all that kind of stuff they're getting beat with. That's talent, but there's also some fight stuff that I'm missing. And if you're Chris Morgan, you know, you're preaching that in there. Like, listen, guys, I can't – this is unacceptable. It will help us if we play a little harder.
They got to play mean, and they don't have somebody who can do it. They don't really have somebody on the roster who can do it. Adding to all the folks that Olin mentioned in there of how they didn't take Cam Jurgens in the draft, took Kyler and Brisker instead, and Jurgens starting at center for Jason Kelce, now that Kelce is retired. They took Velus in round three when Abraham Lucas went next, and he starts for Seattle at tackle. When John Michael Schmitz passed on last year in the draft, he's starting at center for the Giants right now. This year, they don't address center again. And they address center with Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates, seemingly smart guys, makeup guys, but freaking journeyman. And the center in the draft, one of the centers in the draft that I fell in love with, that a lot of people fell in love with, is Zach Frazier. And Zach Frazier on the Steelers right now is beating the bejesus out of people. 10 pancakes in week one, apparently 8 pancakes in week two. That's a lot of pancakes. But watch film of him. Brian Baldinger keeps putting up these comps of Zach Frazier. He can't get enough because that's a guy who is beating the hell out of a defensive lineman and then looking for a linebacker to pile on after that. Just like, look, let me hurt somebody. Let me hurt somebody else. And apparently he can communicate, and that's great. And he can organize, and that's great. And I want you to do it. But I need you to beat the crap out of somebody, and they don't have those people.
I wonder what Ian Cunningham and Ryan Poles are saying now after the second week. You know what I mean? When they're having that honest conversation with each other, like, man, we made a mistake. How do we fix this? Because they have to. They have to see it. They're smart football executives. They got to be sitting there. How do we fix this? You can't go to the, what do they call, the O-line story like we talked about last week. You can't do that. There has to be a way to fix this. I don't know what it is. Olin, like you said, talked about maybe moving Tyvon Jenkins to right. Maybe you move Matt Pryor to left guard, who has played in the past at guard.
Let's talk about that as an idea. Yep. So if you have Tevin back on the right side, where he and Darnell Wright had
then
found
something. Then you just run the ball that way.
And you run the ball over those guys, and you try to establish that as your identity. Hell, you put Big Dog out there, put Mercedes Lewis too, and you revamp the way you're thinking about the offensive line.
So we have hard conversations.
I mean, it sounds like that sounds like something you can do right now. Sit Nate Davis down because he doesn't seem to give a crap. And maybe it's Matt Pryor. Maybe it's Amagaje. I don't know.
I can't play him yet. He hasn't had I don't even know he's had a snap in full pads. That's the hard thing. And he came from Yale. I don't know the true evaluation of him
yet. I worry about him too because he's got to be. He's obviously a leader and a makeup guy and a cerebral guy like Braxton. And that's what we're talking about. Who's the a-hole? I keep wanting to say that.
I know. Well, it should
don't
be said.
You?
It should be said after that game, right? We should be allowed today in Chicago to be able to say that word. Just about the offensive line.
They need one.
Yes, they need one.
They need a guy.
But here's the deal. Let's do this. Let's put Mercedes Lewis out there, Darnell Wright, Tevin Jenkins, and Coleman. Run to the right. You have two double teams right there. Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
You can do it this way. Mercedes Lewis and Darnell Wright. Then you have Coleman has some help with Tevin Jenkins. They can move the line. The backside can cut off. And you get the line moving forward. Right now, they're doing too much one-on-one blocks. Guys are getting beat up the upfield shoulder. They're getting pushed back. There's nowhere to go. We all saw it last night in the first week. So there's ways to fix it. Are they willing to do that? Is it that bad? Is it an emergency where they're sitting there right now, the coaches and the scouting department are like, listen, this ain't working. We've got to make this change. Let's try it. Maybe we make the change because Tevin's played there before. Maybe we make the change this week and we get Bill Murray and Matt Pryor figuring that out. I don't know if they're the answer. Mm-hmm. Bill Murray's never really had a regular season snap. But they
were praising their depth in the offensive line room that they have the greatest depth they've ever had. So let's give somebody else a shot and see if they've got a chip on their shoulder.
It might be to that desperation right now of moving stuff around and figuring out.
You know why it might be to that desperation? First of all, it's the fact that you can't run the ball and they're going to have to change up the schemes and have it match what they're doing with the offensive line in terms of the schemes and do that. But they also might break the soul and spirit and mind of their young quarterback. And that should scare the hell out of them. Because I believe in this kid. I'm still very optimistic about this kid. I think he showed some stuff in the first half that I want to talk to you about. But history is littered with capable quarterbacks who were indeed broken by full seasons of this stuff. David Carr was tweeting about Caleb Williams last night. David Carr was tweeting about it and saying, I'm getting flashbacks, because, especially in this stadium, seeing it in this stadium.
Right.
He's like, I'm getting flashbacks. We have a request in for David Carr.
That would be a great one to talk to.
We got to talk to Kurt Warner at the top of the hour about it.
Because he's been gone how long now? Because he would be honest about that. You know what I mean? Like, I think he would be honest with, like, what really it did to him mentally, how much it beat him down.
And at what point along the way was it too late if it indeed got to that point?
His last year in Houston was 2006.
Oh, then it's, that time has passed. He'll definitely talk about it.
I think that he will. He was tweeting about it last night. I'm like, let's try to talk to that guy.
But to be able to get
guy.
Inside his head and ask those specific questions.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So hopefully we'll do that. But let's talk about the quarterback, because I think there is reason to still have hope because of him. That's a reminder of why there's hope, and we can talk about the fear of the situation breaking him, but let's talk about some of the hope that was there last night. He's Pat Manley. I'm Spiegs at Spiegel & Company on the Score.
Third down, Travis Homer off into the backfield. He is now. Third and 12 for Caleb. Texans 3-4. Williams throws. It is caught on the sideline. Let's see. Rule to catch the 35. By DeAndre Carter, and a first down for Chicago.
All right, so this is what all the players, when you talk to them about Caleb Williams, I said, all right, tell me something about Caleb. He said he'll make three or four throws every day in practice where you go, oh, fill in your favorite play. And that was just one of them.
It was quite a night last night. There was a lot going on. I thought Caleb Williams looked really good at times in that first half, especially. But it's funny because, like, during a portion of the broadcast, when Chris Collinsworth was just full of praise for Caleb, is when things were looking really kind of fast and sloppy, and there was a timeout and a false start, and Caleb looking a little frantic pre-snap as he moved some things around. It was like, is Collinsworth seeing the same thing? But, you know, it's such an interesting thing to try to pick apart. Because once he started getting hit as much as he did, there were problems in the second half, without a doubt, that were on him. There were bad throws. Both the interceptions were short throws, and then he misses DJ Moore by a lot on the left side. Looked like an overcorrection where it was deep, you know? So that's why I want to talk to David Carr. Like, are we seeing the hazards of a quarterback who gets hit too much? Did we see some of that last night? But in the first half, there were things that I was encouraged by. I want to talk about that a little more, but get your thoughts, Pat Manley.
Yeah, well, first, I thought Chris Collinsworth had a little bit of a love fest with Caleb the entire game.
He did.
But here's my theory on that. He wants him to be good. He wants another good quarterback to be able to talk about. He wants the game to continue to grow. He wants the number one quarterback to hit. That's what I think. I think he wants him to be great. And he has a chance to be, but I think that's what he just kept saying. Oh, I mean, there would be mistakes, and he would just – what were we talking about last night? Putting makeup on a pig? Lipstick on a pig? You know? So there were some situations where, to me, he wasn't describing it as well as he should, where he was like, no, it's okay. That's okay.
Well, it's the NBC storyline. They come in with Caleb versus Stroud on the marquee. Yeah. They had packages on both of them in the pregame, and that's obviously the selling point. And there are a lot of positives to Caleb, and there were some last night. But
And then early in the game, when D'Amico Ryans came out with his defensive set, he was only rushing four. And he went 5 for 5, right? He got the ball out quick. And that's when Collinsworth started pumping him up and talking about how great he was. Look how quick he's getting the ball out. Look how comfortable he looks in the pocket. Look how accurate he is. Then the next thing you know, the defensive coordinator and D'Amico Ryan said, this kid could beat us that way. Let's throw some blitzes at him. Let's confuse him. And they started doing that. They put more pressure on their line. So they lined up, you know, 5 across. They're bringing outside blitzes. So guys are going one-on-one blocks. No more double teams in the pass protection, be on the slide to get to guys. That, to me, is what rattled Caleb Williams.
All the blitzes
got him. If you let him sit there, so to me, that was growth. That looked a lot better than it did week one when he played the Titans, when they just rushed four, and he still looked a little frantic or whatever. So that, to me, was growth. He got the ball out quick and was 5 for 5 quick. And then now the NFL is going to go, all right, young man, I'm going to adjust to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to start showing you some stuff that we work on as coordinators during the week, and we know how to get after you. And I think it did. And then if he had an O-line or protection scheme up front that was a little bit better, that would have helped him. But I do think you're going to see this for the next few weeks. And then that's how we're going to see his growth. How does he deal with that? How is he, you know, maybe through a half of just frantic stuff, learn how to dump it down, be a little more accurate on those throws that are, you know, where you said he's got his hazards on. So there was some growth, but there was also some stuff going on that was forced upon him because of the blitzes and the O-line play.
I think that is well said. And I think it's important for us to remember that the quick game, the quick stuff that he did look good at in the first half, and overall last night, he was 2.59 seconds before he released the ball. That was sixth best in the NFL. So that is a change from what we had last year with Justin, what we have seen with Mitch. And you saw it last night. He was hitting a bunch of the layups.
Yes. Yeah. And it was quick. He was processing.
Yes.
He was just processing.
He was seeing the quick reads, the early reads.
A simple defense he could process very well.
Some of the stuff we celebrated, and justifiably so in my opinion, about Tyson Bagent last year was, oh, look at this. He can go out there and execute the quick game. He can go out there and get you through a game. And Bagent went 2-2, and everybody's like, look at that. They found a backup. Can he do the other stuff? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, maybe not, but that's just a backup. Caleb needs to be able to do the other stuff, extending the play, realizing the limits of his athleticism, being accurate on the run. And we've seen him do it in college. We want to see him do it in the pros. But even just what's happening here in week two, he can do the quick game. It was accurate. It was efficient. Yes. And that in itself, and within that, he was identifying some of the defenders and some of the blitzes.
It's simple. It is Stagnant is sitting there and right there for him. A couple of times he had some motions that he could tell kind of what the coverage was going to be. But his first, I think it was the first or second blitz they brought to on him was his first sack. And that's when he looked a little frantic. Maybe it was a third. I can't remember. It was early. Whatever the first, let's just say it was the first sack of the game. He had pressure to the right. He slides to the left and shouldn't have because it was picked up. They got beat a little bit like physically or whatever, but he shouldn't have slid left. So it gives a short edge to Braxton Jones. He feels the pressure there, and then he pops back right too quick. And I think it was Will Anderson got the first sack of the game, and that's on him. Okay, he could have got the ball away quicker and read it a little bit better, but he felt that pressure, and he moved in the pocket and had to bounce back and went back into the pressure. So those are things he's going to learn, and that's what I saw. Is like, okay, he got a little frantic when he saw maybe an unscouted look that he wasn't ready for.
Yeah, I think that's true. And all due respect to Justin Fields, as the Steelers are off to a nice start with a heavy running game, and they're 2-0. But we spent a long time trying to figure out if Justin could do the quick game, and the answer to that was no.
He wouldn't pull the trigger.
It was a definitive no.
We're seeing Caleb pull the trigger.
We're seeing Caleb pull the trigger, and every good quarterback in this league has to be able to do the quick game.
Yes.
And I made that point multiple times last year and in the offseason. It can't be your only thing. It's why Bajan is not a starter. It's why it was a QB2 party, not a QB1 party for Bajan. And it's why I didn't want to invest further in Justin, because you have to be able to do the quick game. Josh Allen could do that if you needed to.
Early downs, you've got to take the layups.
You remember when the Chargers beat the Bears on Sunday night last year, and Justin Herbert, all he did was the quick game.
Oh, that's right.
All he did was the quick game. And it was like, see, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is. That's a guy who can beat you downfield and do the other stuff, but he has to have this in the bag for when it's necessary. Caleb is showing us he can have that in the bag. That is progress.
So he was sitting there seeing the cover two defense, kind of like when you're talking about that game. Herbert took what was in front of him.
Yep.
Eberflus playing cover two. I can hit the little quick game, stay on schedule, play to the chains. Caleb was doing that. But then you throw a little panic at him, he looked like a rookie.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is a rookie.
Yes.
So like, to me, I'm still extremely optimistic about Caleb, because he's showing you he can do the quick game and he can do that stuff, and you have to do it. So now help him with the adjustment period here of like, holy hell, these people are blitzing. My offensive line is nowhere. And that's why we led with the offensive line. That's why we led with the changes you can make to slow them down. Try to run the ball, run it downhill some more. Do those kind of things to set the tempo and help a kid adjust. And I'll point the thumb on this one. I'll point the thumb big time, and we'll point it a few times, and you can point your fingers at me as much as you want. C.J. Stroud being that good as a rookie is an anomaly.
Yes.
That I should not have allowed myself to think Caleb could do right away. And there was some hope in there about Caleb being able to do all of that right away. And I stand here and say, you watch C.J. Stroud last night, you watched C.J. Stroud last year. That is a very special quarterback, unscouted as such, didn't realize he was going to be that good, but bam, there it is, and it is obvious.
My goals were about 85% of those numbers. That's what I wanted to see, but I forgot, going back to studying the Texans, how quickly C.J. Stroud went forward from game one to game two.
Week two, week three, Stroud.
Then just boom, boom, boom. It was
like 370 and two touchdowns and no picks.
And so Caleb has a much farther way to go, But I was saying about 85%. And I can understand why you want that, because this kid, they talk generational talent, greatest high school quarterback, college quarterback coming yes. out, and they're much more developed now just from all the quarterback coaching and all that kind of stuff. You think they can come in and do it, and all of a sudden you saw C.J. Stroud do it. So I was hoping for it too, but I wasn't thinking the same level. I was thinking about 85%, but he's not close right now.
Well, and it's also a thing where Bobby Slowick Jr. is running the Kyle Shanahan yes. stuff from San Francisco, mm-hmm. the quarterback-friendly stuff, as we were talking about all last week with Kurt Warner. What Bobby Slowick Jr. and C.J. Stroud are doing is like what Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan have done yes. together.
Yeah.
And that's not what Shane Waldron is apparently teaching Caleb here at the beginning, at least.
Does not seem that way. And we talked about walking into a perfect situation for Caleb, or a better situation as a rookie quarterback. You look back at it now, C.J. Stroud walked into a pretty good one. Coordinator, right? O-line. They upgraded the right wide receiver core. Looking at it now, it seems to me that C.J. Stroud walked into a better situation than Caleb did.
Which is crazy.
As much as we've been promoting, what he's walking into and how much we want to see.
Oh, boy. No. Well, that's a heavy conversation.
Yes.
Pat Manley is into heavy conversations. He likes them. Mostly about football. And that's why we're here. Texter wants to know.
Why did they pull the picture? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, you're not interested. It's okay. It's all right. He's Manley. I'm Spiegel. This is Spiegel & Company. Kurt Warner joins us next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.